A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. We have here on this second Sunday of Lent the Transfiguration, an event climactic that takes place on the journey toward Jerusalem as we ourselves journey towards Holy Week. It's a marvelous depiction, a marvelous event, portrayed beautifully at times in iconography and even now in the luminous mysteries of the Rosary. So many little facets that one might pick apart that are fascinating, but one question I want to ask is, do you think this really happened? We'll come back to that question. Jesus chose, again, as in Gethsemane, three from among the 12. He was transfigured before them. Here we have someone who can speak with the likes of Moses and Elijah, greater prophets than whom there have not been. They appeared in glory, and they spoke about this coming event, this journey to Jerusalem, which we all undertake. It's amazing, however, odd, as in Gethsemane, but even more strange here, Peter and his companions were overcome by sleep. On an occasion like this, when Moses and Elijah are there, and indeed, the appearance and Jesus transfigured, and yet they doze off. Maybe they had not yet perceived all this and it was happening, but they were not allowed to see it. And anyway, when they became awake, they did see the two, they saw the glory, and as they were about to part, Peter says, again, as Peter so often does, a kind of pragmatic, enigmatic line, "Let's make three tents." We can make different things out of the aspect. Is it that Peter doesn't know what to do, and so, well, let's do something? Is it that they just want to stay there on the mountaintop? It's been too overwhelming, too marvelous, too wonderful. And so let's put down here and stay. We don't want to go back down the mountain into the journey, take up the cross. But then, while he was speaking, a cloud came. It said he didn't know really what he was saying. He didn't know what he was talking about. He had not yet fully fathomed what this all was. Was it a kind of preview that he was not yet able to break open, unravel, that undoubtedly an incident like this had to raise tremendous questions. Who is this man? What is this about? Who have we chosen to follow? Where are we going with our lives? But a shadow came over them, and they became frightened as they entered the cloud. That quality of being frightened, our first reading today, the second Sunday of Advent from Genesis, the story of the promise made to Abraham, and indeed the covenant, but it also speaks about Abraham falling into a trance, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. It's almost as if our encounters with Christ, besides being a kind of high point, mountaintop kind of thing, or speaking with the Lord, there's that element of confusion, bewilderment, can't quite believe. Abraham even responded, "How am I to know that I shall possess this land? It's such a great promise. Well, how do I know?" There is a kind of lack of faith, a lack of trust. And here, with Peter, they became frightened. He didn't know what he was saying. The cloud overshadowed them. Our life with God, our experiences of God or Christ, these are often mixtures. They can be so illuminating, even in our own lives. How often have we not seen signs, known the presence of God? God has been so real to us. And yet it also fades rather quickly. One would think, and that's what's so amazing here in this transfiguration, that after this event, it would have been clear, and Peter, James, and John would have had no doubts, and yet they don't seem to get it fully, and Peter even later denies, what's this all about? Our experiences of God can so easily fade. But then the voice comes again as a reassurance, saying, "This is my beloved son." But they fall silent. What's it all mean? What's it all about? Did this event happen, do you think? For us moderns, especially in the West, we have a difficulty with miracles, with something like the Transfiguration, even the exegete. In the 20th century, Bultmann considered this as something that had a basis after the resurrection, a kind of post-resurrection appearance. It couldn't have happened before the passion and death. It got transposed in the gospel accounts. But that's almost suggesting that we ourselves can't believe something unless we understand it, unless it's clear to us. But then it's no longer a question of faith. Once it becomes clear, aha, oh, I see, then we believe, not because we believe, but because we've made sense of it. And yes, theology, we want to make sense of our faith. We want to understand that at times we're called upon just to make that act of faith. Abraham says, "Well, how am I to know?" Peter, here, confused. You didn't know what he was saying. A cloud came over them. They were frightened. He immediately kind of responds, "Well, let's build these three tents." The challenge in the life of faith is so often hanging in there, staying the course. Jesus makes himself present to us in a wide variety of ways. Often, most often, in the ordinary things of life. But those obvious indications of God's love, of God's presence, of what God is doing, as we too, as we are now during Lent, move on that journey toward Jerusalem, it's easy to lose sight, to become confused, bewildered, afraid, in the midst of darkness. and yet God always comes back to reassure us? Is it just that we're all too human, that it's hard to sustain at times what really deeply inside we are called upon to believe? An event as magnificent as this transfiguration, what is being revealed to Peter, James, and John, and yet, even with that, it doesn't fully sink in. What's it all about? Indeed, it follows the whole question of Caesarea Philippi. Who do we say that he is? But what's challenging here is that we too, no matter what, if we don't know, if we're bewildered, if indeed we find ourselves enveloped in darkness, if we're frightened, what is important is that we stay the course, that we hang in there. Christ is with us and goes to no end to reveal that to us.